7/20/2023. It's a Walk the Pedro show.
We'll be right back.
Waffle Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday.
Happy birthday.
Ha ha! Loving that. Another trip around.
Happy birthday, brother.
Absolutely. Made it this far. I remember the number 66 was like the old man number.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Then it's on you. We started off with John Coltrane. That was a live excerpt from March 2, 1963. Famous quartet, right? Mr. PC, that's excerpt. He wrote that for great bass man, Mr. Paul James. And then we had John Truby.
Yeah.
What do you call that little number?
I played a section of Freddie Hubbard tune, Red Clay. Improv crap, and then I also did a shortened arrangement of Amor Fati, original piece.
Very cool.
Amor Fati, love of fate in Latin.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Hey,
yes.
Welcome back.
Thank
what
you.
What has happened since you last been here? What's Santa Rosa like?
I've been retired. I spend hours playing guitar each day. On the end of the trip, when I last visited you in July, I hooked up with my brothers in Palm Desert, or one brother in Palm Desert. We took a road trip up to North Dakota, where my mom lived on a ranch in the Depression. It was great seeing cousins there. And then on the return trip, Brother Evan dropped me off in Denver, hung a couple days in Denver.
You were in the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, Rocky Mountains. I was on a little a radio show there in okay. Boulder. That was kind of fun.
Boulder.
I met up with this guy.
You know who's from Boulder?
Who?
Jello.
Joe Baeza?
No, Jello Biafra.
Oh, Jello Biafra. Jello Biafra. Okay. I know Jello.
I'm going to play with Joe Baeza tomorrow.
You're seeing him tomorrow, yes.
Cool.
Chris Corsano, the Dean.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And then
dropped out of nowhere.
And then flew to Reno just for a couple of days, goof around. I don't gamble or party or anything. I found this in a pawn shop in Reno.
Show me the Telecaster, people.
Esquire Telecaster, made in Indonesia. Inexpensive labor there, so I got this for $130, and it's just an okay. It's a good guitar. It's nice. So,
okay.
So it's fun. That's all.
So, but you got a sack with it? You're carrying on your back?
Yeah, I have a gig bag here, and everything works out dandy.
So the trip. I mean, you didn't come from the trip to here. That was back in July.
No, that was back in July. In the meantime, I've been retired. I do stuff like play guitar a lot.
Yeah, but you know. You were saying last time you weren't doing many gigs, but now you're starting to, right?
Well, yeah, I play at retirement homes. I busk at supermarkets and occasionally other places here. They're trying to get more gigs, and that's about it. I'm not very good at it because I'm sort of a hermit, and I don't connect well with people. So this is an anomaly to be here sitting here with you, other human beings. Yeah, I'm very picky about who I choose to associate. And you're all friendly. You've all checked out. You've all passed the grade. So it's very good. But otherwise, I just hide because people
what's that called, Brother Matt? Yeah. Agoraphobia?
Agoraphobia or... I don't really dislike people.
I just feel better when they're not around.
Everybody has a different temperament. My temperament is to be alone and read books and play guitar. I like solitude. A lot of people have difficulty with solitude, and I appreciate that too.
I know what you mean. I know cats, like say a tail. Mm. As soon as they get in the hatch, they got to turn the TV on. Mm. Like nobody's not even to watch, just to have a sound.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, what the fuck?
Yes.
Quiet is beautiful.
Sometimes, yeah.
Scary.
That's Bukowski said, I don't hate people. I just feel better when they're not around.
Who's your buddy, John?
This is Chris Wall.
Hey, Chris.
Drummer. He was initial drummer in the Flesh Eaters and in my band. And
way back?
He actually has a flyer that has the Flesh Eaters and the Minutemen. So he did play shows back then.
Yeah. In fact, I think it was opening for John Cale. Here in Long Beach at Fender's Ballroom.
That sounds right. Yeah.
We had a big...
We played a number of times.
Yeah.
There was a discrepancy.
I didn't want to move the piano. It turned into a whole piano.
Oh, yeah.
It was okay.
Well, now that was with Divine Horseman, was it not?
Maybe it was.
But I
Rex took over.
Overheard a little bit of your...
Oh, with Chris
talking with Chris. Yeah. And you had said that you didn't think you played with our lineup. And I got proof right there.
Well, I didn't know which lineup it was. Yeah. It was Flesh Eater, well, or was it Divine?
We played
Roses
with you guys quite a bit.
Because I remember Robin, the bass man. And I remember Rex, the later on drum man, who lost all the drums, donated in New Orleans, right?
He didn't.
It was the last gig they did a tour, and we were playing with them. We were just starting, maybe first week.
Yeah.
They were finishing up the football, everything donated, the vehicle, all the equipment. And, you know, Rex used to polish up them drums and shit. Yeah, it was. Remember, that's where Georgie got the fucking chick-ching thing.
Oh.
So it was a major fucking chick-ching. Oh, my God. Here, let's play some.
And I also played with John.
Let's hear some more from John.
More from John. Okay. I just learned this. I just want to run this by quickly.
Put our mics down.
Thank you. The TV fire, the empty room, time bomb out of ticks, Copenhagen moon, the river bank, flat on the way. In the dark we see a life we have to save. I'm too tired to cry, I'm too late to let go. But either way, win or lose, Copenhagen blues. And then you do it anyway. Out of time, and no more love to waste. Cut in half and swept up into the air. Empty room, close my eyes and meet you there. Too tired to cry. Too late to let go.
the high plains on his quarter horse with a canvas sash. And all the stars, they bleed together like the flames inside a forge. The earth is molten, time is stretching on a rag. And yet he labors like a shadow across the meadows of the moon. I dive a fire beneath the breakers on the rocks. There are more bodies in the snow than there are things that you can know. But he knows you don't have to die to walk the netherworld. It is a cinch to reach if you can climb a rock. Then when the air's too red to tell and the chill's clear as a bell, he lights a fire and he settles down to read. He pulls a letter from his sack, makes a pillow of his pack. And he's a wild dog somewhere yanking on a rabbit trap. Gone crazy as it dawns on it its beat. And the mailman reads, oh baby, take a moment just to think about me. You leave me living like a spinster while you're bachelor free. You're even more of a burden when you ain't here at home. The youth that never talked stepped out of earshot with his horse. When no one cares less what he thinks or what he says, or the old drover by the fire who quite enjoys the peace and quiet. He's drifting off somewhere beyond the flames, or the stockman grinding beef between his horseshoe iron teeth. Until the wild dog in the rabbit trap falls quiet, he takes a rifle leaning up against the tree, and the mailman reads, I had to fight off your girlfriend with a rock salt gun. Ain't it enough that I adore you, that you prefer them young? Is she a schoolgirl or an ostrich? She's all eyelashes and bone. Lugging dispatches from the brides of all the landers, There's been audio jungles above 7,000 feet. But now here comes the welcome change. He starts to relish the exchange. Until a fire off shot rings brightly through the sleet. Then through the valleys down below and through where no one ever goes. Spreading thin across the lowlands before vanishing the sea. And now a subatomic silence settles fog-like across the highlands. And it's too cold here now and it's too quiet to sleep. And the mailman reads, and oh now, why you languish in your dark house of stone. Leave me withered so by loneliness, I welcome your home. And how could any poor boy leave his mother in the cold? You can't leave me here on my own. was standing at the station with my guitar in my hand. I was standing at the station with my guitar in my hand.
Show. Thank you so much, John. I'm going to take a guess and maybe yell at Rigby.
You got it.
Very nice.
Now what was that first name?
First thing was Backstabbers by the OJs.
Right.
Yeah. And then that I played before. And then I played part of Jennifer by the Steps. and also another tune called A Song for the Departed. It was all a mishmash.
Okay. Or they say in the racket, medley.
Medley, yeah.
Very cool.
What was the third one? Song?
A Song for the Departed.
Yeah, Song for the Departed. Yeah, okay. And so it's like kind of the jazz tradition where you take some traditionals and start improvising on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that.
Very cool.
I think they had to do that in the older days because not a lot of time to practice, so it had to be tunes people knew, but then they could still have fun with it.
Yes.
Yeah. And maybe you busking, you want to give some familiarity to shoppers.
When I busk, nobody seriously listens or rushing in out of the stores, yeah. But people love music. And when they put money in the jar, I can't tell if they feel sorry for me because I'm a loser, I'm out there playing guitar, just like you give money to a homeless person, or if we're trained to revere the arts, but we don't have enough time to pay attention. So they put some money in, say, I like music, well, you like the arts, we want the arts to be alive, but they're just running in and out for their groceries.
Yeah.
So, but it's okay.
They're just checking the box.
But I'm not complaining because I'm getting two things I like. I love to play guitar. I'll play guitar alone and naked in outer space. Yeah. If there's people there, that's nice. I can live without an audience, but the audience is nice. And I also like money. I love to get money because it's hard to live on Social Security only. So it's really cool to play guitar and get money for it. The audience and applause is nice, but the mainly play guitar, get money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the first hour, December 20, 2023, Digimon Pedro Show. Special guest John Truby for the third time. Hold time for hour two.
Cool.
December 20, 2023, it's the second hour of Lock for Pedro Show.
day it becomes increasingly difficult to remember past experiences, and also harder to find experiences worth looking forward to. But these are still slap, 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 happy, slap, happy, slap, happy days. Slap, happy, slap, happy, slap, happy, slap, happy days. Slap, happy, slap, happy, slap, happy, slap, happy days. Slap, happy, slap, happy, slap, happy, slap, happy days. I'm losing my hair and I'm losing my mind, but I don't really care.
Through some shit.
Yep.
Anyway, that's all I'm saying. want to tell you all about a treacherous drink. Vodka Rebel, two shots and get it. Serves to change my situation. Don't take it. She's a leader. I'm in the darkness. How do you feel?
Show that music, start off that chunk of music, starting off the second hour. One Drop of Rain, an original from John Prue, performed right here at the Love Grotto, Pleasure Point, Wife of Beaver. Then we had Bunnell doing High Speed Chase, Cheer Accident doing Median, Acid Mother's Rails, right? This collaboration between Acid Mother Temple and Rails out of Argentina. Japan, Argentina collab. Antimatter Sound Milkshake. That's the title. Chris Burns and his Growing Concerns. Slap Happy Days. Mazinga live in Ann Arbor, June 4, 2023. Dark Path and finally, no, not finally, Circus Devils. Bob Pollard's got another side project. A gig that wouldn't go away. And then finally, John Truby live here at the Love Grotto, Pleasure Point, the Deserts of Eternity. And now it's my great, great, great privilege to bring Brother Matt Spincycle, collaborate with John Truby in real time.
Very cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
us about cyclists.
That was me and John's version of Happy Birthday.
Yeah. Thank you so much. People, December 20, 2023, this is Bob Pigo Show. Hold tight for hour three. December 2023, it's the third hour of the Walk from Pigo Show. Show start off the third hour with Lala, Love You, / Harden My Heart.
Yeah.
And interpretations from Mr. John Truby here at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. And then we had Plan the Escape, Signs and Tremors from Kill a Man Zango and Stony Spring. Sweet Jesus, Help Me to Function. Stony Spring, it's got to be the worst band.
Your Heart in My Heart is better than Quarter Flashes. Though.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Your Heart in My Heart is better than Quarter Flashes.
I
like yours better.
You like your Sausage Factory.
Actually, that was not a good version. I was not happy with it, but it's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
You can live with it?
I can live with it. I mean, there's no taking it back.
Blast. And, yeah, when do you feel it's time to play an original? When's it time to cover a traditional?
Well, I love playing the cover songs that I play.
Yeah.
And I just make it up as I go along when I'm busking. And I screw up a song, I'll go into one of my original things or just the chord progression that I play. Nobody's really listening. Nobody's listening critical. They're just putting money in the tip jar. So all I care about, just playing guitar and getting tip money, and nobody's giving me any crap anymore. It's great. I love it.
So kind of a holding pattern?
Yeah. It's a whim.
Do you ever compose?
I compose mainly on the guitar, and then when I get, and what happens is I'll practice and practice and practice and noodle around for hours and hours and days, and then occasionally sometimes there will be a something that I hear that I like, and then I'll get some score paper and write down the melody before I forget it, and then every 5 or 10 years, whenever I get a few $1,000 to go into the studio, I'll take these scraps of paper and then get the band together and flesh them out so we can play them. But most of the time, I'm just playing guitar right now on my sofa
at home. Man,
yeah.
Give us one.
Just that? Okay. I was learning Reflections, that Motown song, and there were these two chords. I started playing those chords and it suggested a whole tune. So this is called I Walk on My Own Way.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. So, have you ever composed with another person?
Like collaborating?
It's like kind of what you do with Brother Matt, but not so much performance, like actually composing.
Very rarely, almost never, because I cannot emphasize to the extent to which I'm a hermit. Sitting in a room with this other people, I haven't done this in months and months and months.
Yeah.
I visited my family there. I don't. So mainly, I'm a solitary hermit. So if you noticed on my album credits, it's almost always just me writing the stuff. I'm solo, a solo sort of thing. I don't like to.
You mean hanging out with people? It's the same thing as like composing with somebody.
Well, collaborating.
Collaborating.
I don't play well with the other children. However, I have a friend back east, Jim Nevius, who was in my teen band, Group Knots of Sick People. He's bugging me to come out and collaborate with him, and I could bring some of my song ideas, and I'd be happy to collaborate with him. I'd be happy to collaborate if there's some sort of motivation. Somebody gives me money, or it's a cool gig, or some sort of cool thing. Yeah, I'd do that.
He's my friend, right?
What?
He's an old friend.
Yeah, from high school.
That ain't enough motivation.
Yeah, that's enough motivation. It's just paying the money to get out there. I'm on a very tight budget. That's the only thing that's stopping me. But I'd be happy to if anybody invites me. But since I spend 99% of my time alone, that's the songs come out of my own head.
When you guys were young, you played together.
Yeah, we had a band.
What was that like?
Jamming down in his basement, I would drive on the weekends to get away from my father. He yelled at me all the time. So I would use that as an excuse to get away. And I wanted to be in a band really, really badly.
Sure.
So we played stuff like Mothers of Invention and Progressive. We played some King Crimson tunes and some original tunes.
Oh, but you didn't compose.
We had some of original tunes. And we had a couple original tunes. But
what was that like working with him?
It's fun. He's a good friend of mine. One of the reasons that I enjoyed the company of Jim Nevius is I was a preppy and I was very repressed. I had a very strict upbringing, so I'm afraid of everything. I have to ask permission to do everything. Right. I'm afraid of getting in trouble. I'm very risk averse. Jim Nevius was the opposite. He was a wild man. He would scream and yell, has a very short attention span.
Yeah.
And I would like to hang around with him because I could observe his wildness and say, that's the way I'd like to be. I'd like to be that and not be afraid of always getting in trouble.
Do you think opposites attract?
Yes, exactly.
Like magnets.
So sometimes some of my friends and people that I know are wild people and they're sort of wild. Sure. I hung around with Carl Franzoni, and he was sort of a wild man too. It's because I see that wildness and that freedom that I can't allow myself to go, but I admire it in
nature.
Others.
A farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yin and yang, right, brother?
Yeah.
It ain't just yin and yang, because inside is a little seed of each.
Exactly. There's wildness and rebellion in me. It's just, there's a tight lid on it.
Got that little seed.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Give us another tune, John.
Oh, no. Okay.
Going now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. See how much sound gets drowned out. I guess we can live with this, right?
I think it's nice. Then you can ask me what
ambience.
It is.
Yeah. You're actually playing right now while talking. This is the first in radio history.
No, it's not me, though.
Who is it? It's Vinny, right?
Yeah, it's okay. Vinny. That's the Blue Prostitutes.
All right. Who came up with the name The Blue Prostitutes?
I'm not sure which one of them did, actually.
It's almost like I think of the Blue Man Group a little bit, except they're prostitutes. Look at that ashtray.
Blue Man, well, Blue Man are a different kind of prostitutes.
Right. Exactly. So
it's a gig, though.
Yeah, it is a gig.
I guess a very good one. So it's some like underground rock guy from San Francisco, I can't remember his name, he's a drummer, and he got a job with one of the Blue Man groups.
Right, some famous people went through there, right?
I think there was a little problem with the Musicians Union for a while, but I think they're no longer on the International Unfair list. So.
Yeah. Are they? Do they play in San Francisco, too, or is it just New York?
What, Blue Man?
Yeah.
They have, they're like Cirque du Soleil. They have companies all over the place.
Yeah.
Sort of like the time Kamielski was the residence.
He was claiming to be the resident?
No, they hired him to be one of the residents.
Oh, to be one of the residents.
Yeah, it was like a touring version of the band.
Wow, so the residents are kind of like have different factions floating around.
Well, if you change personnel, nobody's going to know because you're not supposed to know who they are.
Right.
So I'm not sure if he put an eyeball on his head. I think he did.
Wow. I saw them on TV, and they played with Conway Twitty.
Wow.
David Sanborn had a TV show called Night Music where they'd pair up people that weren't supposed to be together. So it would be Sun Ra backed by somebody that wouldn't have anything to do with Sun Ra. And then the residents played with Conway Twitty. And I think they had Bong Water with Screamin' Jay Hawkins and Bob Weir doing a Rocky Erickson cover.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Definitely introduced a lot of like freeform ideas to TV, and of course it didn't last very long. Once the beer sponsors saw like, oh, you want to have the Butthole Surfers on, they pulled the plug off it. So it's crazy. How are you enjoying your time in New York?
I've been having a really, really good time. This is probably the hardest I've worked musically in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. It's pretty demanding, and these guys have got a tight schedule for me, and we've gotten to rehearse and play live and talk about it and do it some more, and I'm really happy to be here, and yeah, of course doing some recording too.
Yeah, and every day you're in town, you're pretty much doing a show or recording, so
yep,
you're definitely getting pushed, I guess, in a way that doesn't happen unless you're fairly busy on the road as well.
Yeah, but that's like half an hour during a show, mm-hmm. that may come once every 3 or 4 days.
And then lots of traveling.
And, that's the traveling is the big part, but every once in a while you get to spend a few days off in some cool place like Tokyo or something.
Yeah.
And once I overcome my initial agoraphobia to new places, I always have a good time, so.
Well, one thing I've been really interested in hearing about is the places that you've been going to, and you've sort of been collecting the sounds as well while you're there. I mean, you went to Turkey and you wound up just meeting people at a Stooges show, playing with them. And
well, I that was from Scott Neidiger from Radon.
Uh-huh.
Had played in Turkey and stayed with these people. And so when we came through, he said, put these guys on the list for the show. And I met them. And then the next day they called me at the hotel and said, come on, we're taking you out. And spent most of the week just hanging with them and their friends. And
yeah.
It was wonderful. And then I did do a really nice session with them. I'm not sure whatever happened to the recordings, but that's Rashid, fabulous band.
Oh, yeah.
And then they got a deal on Sony, but it was Sony Turkey, because they sing in Turkish, so their market's kind of limited.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted me to play on one of the songs on that album. And so it's like we used to joke about phoning in your part.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically the modern version of that. And they sent the MP3 file to Camille. Camille came over to my house, put a microphone up in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
I did 3 passes on the song. He cleaned up the end where I missed the stop. And we sent it back to him. And I understand it's on the record and they're very happy with it. I keep waiting for it to come in the mail. But for some reason, a CD-sized package mailed from Turkey to me does not want to come there.
Rashid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard Dominic Trix play a Rashid thing after you came back. I think you gave him CDR or something. I don't know.
I had given him Yeah, I'd given him some stuff, and he had it for a while so he could make some copies of it.
Well, you've been really, you know, fortunate the last 4 or 5 years, I guess, since this dude just started rolling back around the world, and, you know, it's been pretty constant, and it's must have given you such a great chance to soak up what's going on and find out all the people that sort of know what you've been up to and through the years. And so what are some of the other folks you've met and played with along the road?
I was with Watt, and I were in Dublin recently, and we played with this Irish band called Estelle.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been together for several years. They're mostly instrumental. And we had a morning off before we had to go travel someplace, so these guys picked us up and drove us across town to this recording studio that was attached to a stables, active horse stables.
Wow.
Kind of in a weird suburban pocket in Dublin someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And we recorded 4 or 5 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real interesting, and you know, different kind of music for me, and my first recording session with Watt, too.
Yeah.
And then we've done a bunch of radio shows, Watt and I have.
He has his own radio show, I think, doesn't
he? The Watt from Pedro show.
Right.
And he tries to do a 3-hour show every week, and I've done about 3 or 4 of those shows with him.
Wow.
It'll be like us sitting in a hotel room. We did one in Moscow. We did a couple from Switzerland, you know, and then I can bring him my new stuff and he'll play it. But people send him, people send him the most incredible stuff from all over, stuff that, you know, you might not get to hear otherwise. There was one, as a matter of fact, I can't remember the name of the band, but they're from Brooklyn. It was one of the funniest and greatest songs I've heard in a really long time. And,
that's the amazing thing about radio now. You can literally do it anywhere as long as you can run a WAV file on your computer and have a little remote mic, and I think that's pretty amazing.
He's got this mic that's round and white. It's called a Snowball, and it's got really good fidelity.
Wow.
But I'm trying to think of other things that, as far as collaborations with people on the road, I haven't really done a lot of that this year, but... always open for it.
Well, since you've been to FMU last, you know, we saw Cubico put out an LP from the session, and looks like you're down to keep the ball rolling for next year, I guess, at least. What are some of the things going on with the Blue Prostitutes that you've been doing? I mean, who's in the band, if you want to talk about?
Sure. I guess my main man is Vinny Paternostro. And he plays the sax in this band. He plays other things, too.
Mm-hmm. He's been here with Temple of Bon Matin.
Yeah.
Matin. How does it pronounce?
I think they say Bon Matin, even though it might be Bon Matin. You know, good morning is what that means,
right,
for those of you that didn't go to French class that day. We've got two drummers. We've got Sam Lohman, and we've got Aaron Moore. And then we have a synthesizer player named Jay Reeve, and we've got Jason Lafarge on the bass, and that's them, and this is me, and we found we're kind of got like different things going on in our heads, but we've managed to come together with some pretty great stuff.
Yeah,
they're doing a couple of instrumental versions of songs of mine and stuff.
Yeah, this stuff is rocking, really.
That was my intention, was to try to create that, cool, that kind of a vibe.
Excellent. Well, we can't wait to see what transpires from these sessions. And Steve, in case you don't know, lives out in California. So we're really lucky when he makes it out to this neck of the woods on occasion. And especially even luckier when we get to get him involved with WFMU, as we've had the fortune to do several times on my show, and Acapulco Rodriguez had what was the group called then? It was just
Steve McKay and the Radon Ensemble.
The Radon Ensemble,
or maybe just the Radon Ensemble, because as you know, you got various versions of Sam coming through town.
Yeah.
With different casts of characters that you've been kind enough to host over the years.
And what do you think would be your dream to get together? Like, what would you love if anyone could say you could have any kind of musician in your band? Like, you know, you can have a Balkan brass band, or you can have, is there anything you really would love to explore, like an avenue that you haven't explored yet? You've explored so many already.
I think I'd like to, it would be something that would be more kind of a, not arena rock, but more like a lounge or kind of a show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Goodbye Blue Monday's 100-seat kind of ambience.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, this might be pushing it, but like I write songs and I sing songs.
Right.
And I can't play guitar and saxophone at the same time, but a lot of my songs are kind of guitar-centered. Some of them are country songs.
Mm-hmm.
And rock songs, and you probably played a couple things like that. There was the one En Voyage
mm-hmm.
album, and you know, some kind of songs, some of the songs from that, and some other songs I've written in recent years. And then, you know, you got to throw in like my very slowed down version of Blister in the Sun that mm-hmm. has never been performed.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and we're doing a
why
couple.
Didn't they use that for the Wendy's commercial? That would have made much more sense.
It certainly would have. Yeah.
Wow.
Man, I'm so strung out. Yeah.
Down tempo with a vibraphone.
Do, 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 do.
Very cool.
Do.
Steve also has played with the Violent Femmes through the, God, back to the 80s, right? Pretty much.
Yeah, on occasion, sometimes more, sometimes less, since 1983.
Yeah.
I met them on their first West Coast tour.
That's right. And some other sessions you've done, you know, you played with Snake Finger.
Yeah, history of the Blues.
Right.
That was 1983. We did live shows from Europe, available on Rough Trade Deutschland, vinyl only.
Wow.
You know, unless somebody put it out by now again in a disc.
There's some pretty smoking YouTube footage up of him I saw recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everything's up there now.
Well,
can't
see,
hide.
Well, my wife Patty and I are fairly good friends with his daughter. Her name is Lonnie Lithman,
mm-hmm.
and she's got a band called Girls with Guns. So you could probably go to your computer and check them out. And she's got, like, you know, kind of a feminine version of his features, that kind of Asian, part Asian look, you mm-hmm. know. And you can tell right away it's his daughter. And wow. she can really belt out a song, and
wow,
it's a good band. I've sat in with them too. So,
what is the sheer feeling of just playing on this giant stage with the Stooges, and it's like a hurricane that you get called out halfway in the middle of the show, the thing's already rolling fully, and then you just come in and like help blow the rest of the roof off.
Well, that's a kind of a good thing. So I kind of call myself the orchestra in a box, because
uh-huh.
it's not all solos. It's a lot of ensemble parts, or I'll double the bass line, or I'll double the guitar part.
Right.
You know, or sometimes harmonize with it, but a lot of times just playing unison. But it would, like, if we do I Want to Be Your Dog, they do it the first time without me, and if he does it as a reprise, which we call double dog, then I
oh,
play
yeah,
on that version.
Double dog.
Yeah, and so I get to play on that, and he's also put me on some songs that I was not on the record for, like Skull Rings or mm-hmm. Electric Chair, you know, get a really nice featured solo on that, and he's, you know, so he's, and it really does help the sound out, and I enjoy that part very much as well.
Yeah, it just seems like you're equally at home in front of, you know, 50,000 people as you are playing at Goodbye Blue Monday, and I don't think I know that many musicians that can adapt to those scenarios so well and do it so easily.
The Goodbye Blue Monday can be a lot scarier, but that's also because, like, my name's on the chalkboard, you know. But it, you know, there's a certain kind of thing. There's a certain kind of a comfort zone if I can just, here's my parts,
mm-hmm.
and I've got Stooges have a really good sound man, Rick Hart,
mm-hmm.
and once I realized that he was actually turning me up as loud as the guitars, I got a little nervous there for a while. It says, like, they can actually hear what I'm doing.
Yeah.
After years and years of being, like, you know, your basic sound engineer has you about half as loud as you really ought to be.
Yeah.
You know, and just leaves it like that. You know.
So I've seen this rider. Is this actually, it's a hilarious stage rider for them.
Yeah.
Is that real?
Yeah.
That is the real deal.
That's the real deal.
I'm going to have to put a copy of that up on the web page or something.
No, I think it may have been done already. That's Joss Grain.
Okay.
He's one of our production guys, and he was responsible for writing that. So he's got that kind of smarmy British sense of humor.
Right.
With a certain vicious undertone to it, but you know,
yeah.
A good larf was had by all.
And it's still distributed for every show.
As far as I can tell, he may update it.
Yeah.
But I did see a copy of it one day, and I looked at it. And
wow. I have to ask you, what was it like to play at the wedding of the Jackass guy?
Well, I got to play. I guess we played like three or four songs or something, and I got to play on two or three of them.
Right. It was in Philly, right?
Yeah. And then it finally got on the TV, and they had like about a minute and a half, and I think Pop was the only one you could see, or maybe Mike Watts' head or something. You know, and then he had people on the stage, or he was out in the crowd, and it was a very brief clip. But I met Bam, and there's all these guys in wheelchairs at the gig, jackasses. Oh, broke both my legs. Ha ha ha. You know.
Nobody was like launching themselves from cannons on the stage or anything.
No, no, no. They were having people carry him in and out of the room if they didn't have a wheelchair or things like
that. Was Johnny Knoxville there?
I don't know which one he is. I don't really follow that stuff.
Wow, that's another interesting thing about your touring the last few years is you get called to do these one-off shows. So you may necessarily not be on tour, but you'll get. You'll fly to Greece and come home, and then you'll fly to South America and
we're
come
going
home
to, coming up, since you mentioned that, we're playing the 27th of October in Las Vegas. And I guess it's going to be one of those things where they want us to play the Funhouse album from front to back as the first part of our show. And
that's your album, man.
That's my album. That's good. It's great because, yeah, talk about vindication. It's sort of like I always wanted to play sax in rock and roll, and they didn't like sax in rock and roll, like, yeah. You know, guitar rock. And I was just, you know, even back when I was in high school, the only reason I had a job is because I was the only one that could play a lead.
Iggy was into Eiler, though, and everything, too. He had an open mind to it.
Oh yeah, I guess John Sinclair probably turned me on to Coltrane for the first time, but then I got into all that kind of out there jazz stuff, and I kind of put that together with that, and had my own band, Carnal Kitchen. Started out with just me and a drummer, and we played pretty much free form, and then we'd like latch onto some, you know, in a silent way riff or something, you know, and play it to death, do 45 minute song as a set. The first time we played a gig, Pop was in the audience.
And this is actually pre him knowing the Ashtons, right?
No, no. We played our first gig with Carnal Kitchen in 69. I guess it was, 69.
Okay.
And they already had one album out. But I knew Jim from when I worked at the record store. I think I got his old job at the record store. And so he came in one day and said, come on over to the house and jam with us, and he had Funhouse written, and there's that kind of James Brown beat, and so I started playing like a James Brown sax part.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Pop has claimed that when he heard me, I sounded like Maceo Parker on acid, so at least the second part was probably true, but... Well, I have played with somebody who claimed to be Maceo, and I think it was because he played pretty damn good. But I shared a stage with him one time, so.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. In Ann Arbor, yeah.
So what were you listening to around that time in Michigan? What was driving you to get really, you know, free form in your playing? I mean, you clearly had...
We did listen to a lot of... like Pharoah Sanders and Archie Shepp and Jazz Composers Orchestra and the various kinds of stuff like that. And I was listening to a pretty good amount of like Latin boogaloo music, which is sort of like, you know, it's like kind of jazzy. It was New York kind of Puerto Rican based thing with sax solos, you know, and conga drums.
Right.
And I like that. And, you know, I
was radio a big force in it? Because I know, you know, CBN was pretty free around that time. And, you know, acted sort of as a funnel to a lot of people, gave people ideas as well.
Yeah, no, I remember, actually, there's a guy named Larry Monroe that was a DJ at CBN that I knew very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just recently saw him. He moved to Austin many years ago, and he's still in radio down there. And at that point, well, I worked in a record store. So I could listen to anything I wanted to.
Right.
You know, I sort of liked the Mothers a lot, you know, or it's like, you know, it was the psychedelia, you know, rock albums, you know, Big Pink, you know.
Right.
You know, all kinds of different stuff. And then all the jazz, too.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain amount of the pop.
It's just so weird, you know, that when Funhouse came out and the Stooges had come out, the whole aspect of jazz and free rock sort of meeting wasn't fully explored. You know, the MC5 were talking about Sun Ra and everything, but when you guys recorded, did you have any idea that record 40 years down the line would be just massively just so important to so many people? Or did you kind of think of it as along the lines of, yeah, this is adventurous and new, and, you know, we'll see where this goes. May not be commercial or may see what happens, but, you know, did you have any idea the monumental, like, stature that record would have? That
no,
people would be asking
no,
to do it in its
no,
entirety?
We liked it a lot more than the general public did when it came out. And, you know, a lot of people didn't like it. And I heard of people taking a pin and scratching through L.A. Blues so it would skip over from Funhouse directly to the end so they wouldn't have to listen to L.A. Blues.
Wow. That's harsh.
But, yeah, I of course I'm delighted, and it's sort of like, yeah, I told you so. But it, you know, after a while, you're not hanging on waiting for this. But even starting 10, 15 years ago, people would say, oh, you're the guy that did this and that, you know. And now the number is much greater of people that, you know, are
right,
you know, being my fans and stuff. So.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you know. You know, you remained pretty active through the 70s and 80s, too. And
I had about, there was a certain period of time for maybe about 10 years where I hardly played at all. I had different things going on in my life, but
mm-hmm.
Now everything's back in balance.
Yeah. Well, Steve's making amazing, amazing music, people, and, you know, you might want to check out Radon's stuff as well as Cupico. He had a full-length album on CD come out on Radon this past year.
Yeah.
Some of which was done on KFJC, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the Tunnel Diner one, some of it was done at your station.
Some was done on, Acapulco Show and this show. And, yeah, there's a good Jersey vibe to that album, I have to say, in retrospect. I love the little diner on the cover.
No, that was it. It's like, they were taking me, they were, it was Vinny and Ed, Temple of Bon Matin, were taking me back after grueling like 3 days and four gigs or something, including you being on your show, and they're going to drop me off for like a 7 a.m. flight at Newark Airport on their way back to their home, you know, further out there in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we feel bad that we got to drop you off so early at the airport. I said, well, I tell you what, let's find a New Jersey diner. And says, well, we know just the one. And you come through the Holland Tunnel, and there's like two gas stations, and there's the Tunnel Diner.
Yeah.
And we've been going by it. The neon sign is almost completely burned out, but the place is certainly still there.
Oh, yeah, right on the other side of the Holland Tunnel.
I can't necessarily recommend it for its cuisine, but it was fun to stop there. I think another time with the Radon guys, they were doing the same thing, taking me to the airport, and that was like about five or six of us, and we all stopped at the diner. So.
Yeah. You don't have too many diners like that these days. In Pacifica, do you have some diners? I'm not sure. Like old?
No, not like that.
Streamlined? Yeah.
No, that Louis, it's kind of like a diner. You know, basically, as far as the menu and such.
Right.
Where Patricia works up
right.
in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Fog City Diner, which is like you know, the perfect, you know, East Coast representation of a diner, you know, but with like horribly expensive food.
Right.
But there aren't. That's more the I don't know. I guess the best, a lot of the best cuisine like that would come from like a taco truck.
Yeah, so, we don't have any taco trucks here.
And see that's where you can get some really good stuff. Sometimes a restaurant will have a taco truck, but the food from the taco truck's better than if you go into the restaurant.
Actually, Queens and you go out to Queens and you'll find the taco trucks.
Especially well, they it's like a catering truck that goes around to industrial areas for lunchtimes and stuff.
Right.
But they'll just park in a neighborhood and never, you know, and you get yourself a like a taco with brains in it for a dollar or something.
Goat brain taco. That's awesome. So what do you have planned next? What are you going to do after these recording sessions?
Well, like I said, we got the gig in Las Vegas, and then we're going to play in Mexico City on the 1st of December. And then the 6th of December, I'm playing at, I think we're playing in Miami Beach, Iggy's hometown.
Okay.
And then pretty much we're going to take the rest of the time off until middle of March. That's kind of like what we have as parameters now, not to rule out any other shows that might happen.
Right.
But before we like really start to fire up next year's touring schedule, and it may not be as busy as this year's, which is quite busy. I appreciate Jim for working as hard as he does for us, and booking these shows so that we can live.
Yeah.
You know, and get through it all, and at the same time, you know, making sure that we know he, you know, wants our loyalty and appreciates us. So he's a great guy to work for.
Yeah, and when it all started rolling, you know, back in. When the Coachella show happened, I guess it was uncertain whether or not it was going to fully develop. And lo and behold, the last 4 years were really pretty active for you guys.
Well, we had him to he was out there in the field and in the trenches for 25 years, you know, playing all these countries.
Yeah.
So they already knew who he was. But so when we came through with the Stooges, we just killed him.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm going to have to...
Let's wrap it up. All right. Thanks, Steve McKay. This is WFMU. We're going to hear some more music, and we'll be back.
money for it somehow.
He played Solitude. John Truby started that chunk of music off. Final music for this edition. And we had Steve McKay, Brother Steve.
Right on.
Served 126 months with you, helping the students.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I remember Steve.
Yeah,
I knew him up in San Francisco.
Yeah, jumped up Pacifica. Yeah. Originally from Grand Rapids.
Right here.
Right there
with the Irish cat. Okay. This is him being interviewed by Steve Turner. Oh, no. Steve Turner's Hogwood, right? Brian Turner. No, Steve Turner's in Mudhoney. Nick Turner's in Hogwood. Get my Turner straight. Greg Turner's in Angry Samoans. Or blood-drained cows. Anyway, Brian Turner, WFMU, great station out of Jersey City. October 16, 2007. Then Bronson Caves. That's a project Des Cadena's got. Do with Caves' brother, Paul.
It's where the Bat Cave is, Bronson Caves.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where that name came from. It was like, because it's been in a lot of movies, right?
Yeah, yeah, all kinds of cowboys. As soon as you're there, you recognize it from so many movies.
That's what happened with the Pioneer Town.
Right, yeah.
Make this town for the Old West, and then all the movies.
All the hips, yeah.
So bikers take it over.
Now hipsters.
Yeah, now it's hipsters. You know, it's the natural progression thing. Right? And, anyway, this is called Transcend. Finally, Thanks Very Much. By John Truby. This is a tune he likes to play when he's busking, and people are
putting money in the jar.
Yeah, I was going to give it a word. What do you call that? Compensating you.
Compensating you for my hard work.
Right. And so what's look? You say you like playing by yourself. But then somebody comes with money, then you'll make an album.
Or so, there's some other incentive. There has to be some sort of incentive.
Yeah, what I'm thinking of, when that moment it comes, that incentive, whatever it is, do you got the tunes waiting? Or is it on demand? Oh,
yes,
the
I have folders in my file cabinet.
So you are prepared for this?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
I mean, I came prepared today.
No,
you asked me to play stuff, and I pulled stuff out my butt, you know.
Yeah.
I'm prepared.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I'm way into it.
That's
the kind of people we like on the fucking Watt for Pedro show, not the unprepared.
Yeah.
No anti-Boy Scout.
Yeah. No, I'm not anti-people. It's just that I spend most of my time alone.
Anti-him, but the shit about be prepared.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Why not? Because then it gets away from the game, the blame game, right?
Sure.
Well, I didn't know. I was supposed to. Yeah, fuck. Come on.
Yeah.
Right? Suit up, show up, don't shoot up, throw up. Now, what's the next part? So you do have a trove of tunes.
Yes, I have tunes in my head all the time. I've had an earworm. All other stupid da 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 And da 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 bum bum boom bum bum. Or look at the clouds. It's like a surf tune. Bum bum da 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 da. I've written that melody. If I take the time, I could write it. It would sound really cool as a horn arrangement. These thick horn voicing. Bum ba da ba da bum ba da 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 ba da da da. I have these earworms in my head for decades. I can't go anywhere with them. So I put them on scraps of paper, playing a guitar. Every 5 or 10 years, I'll get some money, and then I can flush them out and go in the studio. I just don't have any money. But I have more music in my head than I have places to outlets, you know?
Right, your musician friend, Chris.
Yes, Chris. In fact,
when's the last time you played with Chris?
It was been years ago because of time and circumstance. I live up in Santa Rosa. Yeah. He's in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
By the way, when you list this on website, I don't have a huge ego. So if you want to put Chris Wall and John Truby in studio, be my guest. I have no ego.
You mean
no ego here.
You're talking about the love grotto.
Well, the love grotto.
The pleasure point. We don't know anything about a studio.
Oh, yeah, the love grotto. So when you put this online, you could put his name there. I'm okay with it. Because we're talking. We're all together.
But I'm trying to plant a seed here. Maybe you reunite on a musical level.
I'll be happy to if there's some motivation.
I got to pay him.
I'd be happy to. It doesn't have to necessarily be money.
Chris, when was the first time you played with John?
It was shortly after I came back from New Jersey, and John had just come back from New Jersey.
Tell him about Club 88.
Well, prior to that, when I first met, I met him and Richie Haas.
And
we played together a little bit.
He spread Richie Haas's ashes in the Pacific Ocean on his kayak.
Nice. I played with him for a number of years in different iterations. And then I had a band.
Oh, were you with the Zooks?
No, I was host. This was apparently John had had visions beyond Zoogs, they enlisted my help. I played the drum set.
Goes back to New Jersey with him.
Yeah. We didn't know one another in New Jersey. It just so happened. I was in high school when I first met him out here, and then I had a band, Weasel Music, and John did spoken word at many of our shows. And he
was one of them at the Club 88. I remember
many of them were at Club 88. We were a thing Thursday through Sunday. And
Could I just tell him something real quick?
Please.
Playing on Sunday when they didn't pay any bands, it was just like a showcase, an excuse to have bands play for free, showcasing Sunday. Who's going to show up?
Right.
So Weasel Music played, and he had me open up. To open up, I didn't really have a band, but I was known for poetry. I was writing poetry. So I just got up at the microphone and started screaming. Screaming as loud as I can. And Chris said the owner looked like he was going to have a heart attack because I was screaming and yelling and like I was having a mental breakdown and throwing myself on stage and just being an idiot and just letting it all out. It was really fun. And then I started to do stuff like that at the Anti Club and got a reputation as a wild man. And screaming and like instead of a person trying to entertain, it's like just like having an emotional breakdown and then laughing at oneself and it's just a total clown idiot and it's not entertaining to any
Wild Man Fisher.
I wasn't even singing songs. I was just screaming and it was like a release and a catharsis and also my own self-entertainment because only like Chris Waller, maybe a few other people would get it and the other people would think that I'm actually ill and there's something wrong with me. And it's really fun. It's really fun to go up on stage in a room full of people. They're all expecting to be entertained and you can do whatever you want. So just start screaming and acting like a jackass and throwing yourself at stage and see what they do.
Why not eat bran muffins and X-Lax and throw shit like GGL?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you know what I learned from that? You go on after GGL, you bring your own money.
Exactly.
That's right. Wow. Beautiful having you both on. I can't wait to have you back on.
Great.
Okay, so we'll plan it.
Happy birthday.
Oh,
happy
birthday. Great. People, it's been December 20, 2023 edition of Wild Bingo Show. See you next week. Keep your powder dry.